Good singing all the way around. And so it's a blessing from on high. Don't forget to remember also to remember to pray Brother Nathan and Miss Madison. We got a new great grandbaby coming. I guess we're not going to find anything out for another month. Probably so. Well, there you go. She told me the other day, now you know it's not going to be able to, as soon as they have the test or whatever it is, it's going to take a couple of weeks to get it back. She knows how impatient I am. So anyhow, that's all right. It'll be good when we find out. All right, hey, let me see if I can get this button here turned on. How's that? Is that working better? Good enough. Thank you much. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Psalm. Psalm chapter number 26. It's good to be able to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. Amen. And I liked all the good special singing that we had. And some of that was first time it had been sung. Isn't that right? That was great all the way around. I thought either I hadn't been here before or that was a new song. And so it was good either way you slice it. All right, in the book of Psalm chapter number 26, if you're able to stand, looking about verse number 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. In Jesus' name we pray. You'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. We'll thank you in advance for that. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while, if I could, about being able to honor God in the habitation of God's people. In this lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find out we're not visitors that are here this morning. I look around across here. We don't have anybody visiting with us. Everybody we got's part of the habitation. It means a place you dwell. It's a place you're regular. It's a place where that you know what's going on and you're able to worship God in spirit and in truth. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out we ought to be ever learning about more about ourselves and about our relationship with God. We ought to be not only living right and walking right and talking right, spitting white, but we ought to be learning to be able to dwell together with God, one another. You know, that's what makes the habitation of God such a very vital, very special thing, because it means that we can rejoice in the fact that we've trusted in the Lord. In verse number 2 of the same chapter, he said, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins and my heart." You know, whenever you come to the house of God, it shows something about you and about your relationship with the Lord and about your habitation with the people of God. I was thinking about, you know, every now and again we'll have somebody that'll come in and visit, and sometimes they're good and many times they're nuts. And you've got a lot more nuts than there are squirrels, and there's a lot of squirrely people in the world we live in. But I'm glad to be able to exalt and magnify the name of the Lord and to be able to shout and to be able to know that in my heart that he's taken up residence. And when he saved me, he put me in the house of God just like he did you that are saved. One thing we all have in common, when we got born again, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There wasn't no if and argument about it, no having to plan and go through a ritual about it and all that business. Let me tell you, salvation is the work of the Lord. You know the reason why Baptists are so messed up in the day and hour we're living in? They got to where they got tired of waiting on God. He moved too slow for them. Now they wanted to be able to snap, bow your head, repeat a prayer, 1, 2, 3 religion, get in the baptistry and give them something that they could gloat about. I got to say to you that, if you will, that whenever the Lord moves in your heart and moves upon your heart, he'll do something real and lasting for all eternity. Look in chapter 26 there, chapter 27, looking about verse number 8. He said, "When thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." Now I want to ask you this. Is that when God spoke and knocked on your heart's door and said, "Seek my face," what'd your heart say? See that? He said, God spoke to my heart, and I said, my heart said, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to seek your face. I'm going to live for you. I got to tell you right now is you better not spend all your life with God talking to your heart, and you're never given a response. In this Bible lesson, let me tell you that it was not a buzzing of the lips there, but it's something my heart had to say unto God. I'll tell you, salvation is, if with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with his mouth salvation is made, and we're confession unto him. With the mouth confession is made, and when you come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you, he'll put a righteous desire on the inside of you. Now, there's something there that we're looking at in verse 1 of chapter 26. He said, judge me, O Lord, for he said, I've walked in mine integrity, and I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Now, while you look at that passage there and you think on it, there's a man that's on stable ground. There's a man with sure footing. And the reason why that we look at that and know that it's important, don't lose your text, but look over in the book of Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy chapter number 32. And in the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 32, I think it's verse 35, is what we're going to be looking at in the passage that's there. Look at it. Chapter number Deuteronomy 32, verse number 35. He said to me, to me belongeth vengeance. And he says, he said, their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things which shall come upon them make haste. Now watch this. Is that the reason why that we're looking at that is because this is the chapter that if you look at it and read it very carefully, verse number 18, of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful. Religion never knows who the rock Christ Jesus is. Verse 22, for a little fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn to the lowest hell. Verse 31, for their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is the vine of Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah, and their grapes are the grapes of gall, and their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? Now, to me, God says, belongeth vengeance. He's going to square the books, isn't he? He's to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them shall make haste. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that when you read in the Bible there that the psalmist said, I've trusted in the Lord and therefore I shall not slide. He's talking about I'm not going to slip off a stable ground into a place called hell, the bottomless pit, the lake of fire, where the worm never dies and the fires never quench. I'm confident that I've got sure footing and that I know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. Now I hope you can say that here this morning. I was singing about, you know, as I go around daily routines of life, I just get to noticing people everywhere, everybody you meet and more professes to know the Lord. You see somebody and you see somebody in Walmart, they'll be pressing along there with a tight set of short shorts on, their butt cheeks hanging out, and a I Love Jesus t-shirt. I guess that in the day and hour that we're living in, there's no need in us worrying about how you ought to be dressing, because liberal society is going to show you that. See what I'm talking about? No need in trying to be able to preach as a pulpiteer and exalt and magnify the name of the Lord. The world's already showed you an example. And if you're not careful, that's what you'll go after. See? It's awful quiet, but I appreciate the good amen. However, I don't have to have one amen if I know I'm right. I'm a bulldog about it. God has not changed his mind, but we live in a world the closer the coming of the Lord. I'm reminded of the passage when Jesus said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? You know, when I look into the Bible, I still believe what God said. I tell you right now is that I believe that you can do anything you want to do. Listen, you don't really need a Bible, an old King James Bible. Religion will show you what kind of Bible you're going to need. And you know which one they're going to pick for you? The one they wrote the song about. NIVKEYMOUSE. Isn't that amazing how that's the most favorite among all, the NIV version among all religious, mainly Baptists? I got to say to you that, if you will, that something's gone wrong in the field, but God has not changed his mind. I was looking at this lesson that was here. You know, whenever you come down to the house of God, look in Psalm 23. Let's look there in about verse 6 and about verse number 8. In the book of Psalm, chapter number 23, there's a passage there that we ought to be looking at, 23rd Psalm. And notice what he says in verse number 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And look, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I want to tell you, the house of God's over on the other side. And if you're a child of God, you're dwelling in the house of God here, you're going to dwell forever, because you're going to the other side where everything's going to be forever. Now, in this lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find out that God is still on the throne. Everything's running right on time. Make no mistake about it. God hadn't changed his mind one iota about it. And as you begin to look into it, the psalmist begin to say that I know that my foot's not going to ever slide. I'm standing on solid ground. And he said, examine me, O Lord, and prove me and try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I've walked in thy truth. That's Psalm 26, verse number 3 and 4. I want to tell you something in this verse 5. He said, I've hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. You know, we've lost that in the day and hour we live in. If you don't believe that people will forsake the house of God, just look on Super Bowl Sunday and look at the people, by the 70 plus to 80,000 people, depending on where they are, that have laid out of the house of God. Oh, they've got a prayer ritual they'll go through. They've got something they're going to buzz from the lips. But I want to tell you, here's what he said. He said, as the psalmist David speaks and pins down by the inspiration of God, I've hated the congregation of evildoers. You don't think that all that that's going on in the world is meant to be able to get people interested in the things of God, do you? No. They're a temptation and a distraction from the things of God. And make no mistake about it, we live in a world that's like that. You know, I used to tell you years ago, and like now, of course, you realize it doesn't matter one way or the other. Just do what you want to do anyway, but see what I'm talking about? I got to tell you, make no mistake about it, that all these years and all this time, I can tell you what happened is we've had too much buzzing of the lips and not enough speaking heart to heart with God. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's looking at. In this lesson here that you're looking at, you begin to find out some things about it, is that your relationship to the Lord is really under examination. And I can tell you what, whenever you look at it and you look in Psalm 26 and Psalm 27, you're going to find out that the Lord is my light. He's the light of the world, and him is no darkness whatsoever. And let me tell you, I'm glad to know that he's not only my Lord and my Savior, he's my light, he's my salvation, he's my strength. I'm going to tell you something, I've been saved by the grace of God and washed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, you know, in this thing that we're looking at, I'm glad they sang that song a few minutes ago there. And because if you wanted to check and see about the blood, I'm washed white as snow. If you're a child of God, you've been washed white as snow. And let me tell you right now is that you don't want to have your eye on two or three different things. But you know what he noticed there in this lesson that we're looking at? You're going to find out. He says, Lord, I've loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Do you know the Bible says over the book of Ephesians, unto him be glory in the church? I've got kinfolks, you've got kinfolks. We've worked with people, brushed shoulders with them that have said, well, you know, I don't think that it really matters if you go to church or not. Unto him be glory in the church. If you're not bringing glory unto God in the church, you're not bringing glory to God anywhere else either. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And let me tell you right now, is one of these days the church is going up and going out of here because of the stability that God has given us to be able to trust him and to walk with him. Whatever God said to my heart in verse number 8 and verse 20, chapter 27, when thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Now, I got to tell you right now, is that what we need is a little heart-to-heart with God. Yes, see? And if you're living like you ought to live and doing what you ought to do and exalting and magnifying the name of the Lord, and with that I'm talking about a lot of pressure with a lot of intimidation, listen, there ought to be a grace of God that draws you to the place of humility. I think Brother Ron said this morning, are you humble? He asked in that, if you humble yourself, are you humble? Every now and again, we just need a little heart-to-heart talk with God and to be able to find out that whenever God speaks to my heart, I need to be able to respond with my heart, because with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With his mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, I'm glad to know as we look across this congregation, we've got all these little old boys and girls and mamas and daddies that have got them sitting there by you and all of that, and that's good. That's great. I can't tell you how many fellows that I know that are clergy that break down and weep when they think about their family and they have nothing to do with God whatsoever. Yes. That's sad. That's sad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I didn't expect, whenever I got up here this morning, I'll be honest with you, I didn't expect to see a crowd of faces that I'd not known. I did expect to see faces that I do know, because I'm dealing with a congregation of habitation and not just somebody that's a visitor Baptist. I told somebody one time over there in Louisiana, he's dead and gone now, Terry Fuselay, the guy that gave me the baseball bat. It's in my office, and it's got a little plaque on it that said, to the hard-headedest preacher I ever knew. And he presented that to me. I was over there preaching a meeting, and he presented that to me, and I've had it all these years. Got the picture of him there, too, as well, and all that business there. But I got to tell you, he had, I forget the name of his church, but I said, now, that there was a whole half of, he said, yeah, they're visiting. Oh, really? I said, I didn't notice them the other day when we were here. No, he said, they just started visiting. And I said, I talked them into coming to be in this meeting. I said, well, on the other side here, there was not very many folks there that I recognized. No, they're visitors. I said, well, did you have any church members at all there? In other words, I'm asking, and he doesn't know it, but do you have anybody that this is the habitation where they come to worship God in spirit and truth? Yeah, you know that old man that had, he's one, he's a member. And I had on this other side a lady, and that's pretty much it. Really? And you've only been here seven or eight years? Yeah, he said, boy, I'm going to tell you, if it wasn't for visitors, I wouldn't never have a congregation. I said, why don't you change the name to this to Visitor Baptist? He said, I've thought about it. I like that. But I think they stayed with Victory Baptist or something like that. I want to say to you in closing here this morning that, if you will, is that if you're a child of God, you know him in the free pardon of sin, you're going to have to recognize and realize and know God's not as in big a hurry as we are. And you're going to find out that whenever we come together like this, God has no deadlines. A.W. Tozer said, God has no deadlines. God is not in a hurry. God is going to finish his work. And only know this, it is to quiet the spirits and to relax our nerves, that God has given us a stability in him. There was somebody said one time, 100 pianos tuned to the same fork are now tuned to each other. That's true, isn't it? I want to tell you something. It must not content us just to take our bodies to church if we leave our heart at home. A fellow by the name of J.C. Ryle said that. I wished I'd have said it, but he said it. It's not enough to come to the house of God with your body if you're going to leave your heart at home. See, I wonder this morning, where's your heart at? I'll tell you, if it's in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the right person. And let me tell you, if you're walking with him, that's the right path. Let me tell you something right now. If you know him and love him with all of your heart, soul, and mind, that's the right preacher for you. That's just it. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us even while we've been unlovable.